Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Welcome to Grumpy Old Geeks. I'm Jason DeFilippo.
And I'm Brian Schulmeister.
We didn't kill Shatner! Woo!
The week is young.
No. Hey, he got off the rocket. We're covered. We're covered on that one. I was seriously, I had to watch it just to make sure, because I'm like, oh God, nobody's, we're dead in the water if we killed Shatner.
I mean, I'm really glad he went. I think this whole space billionaire thing is complete and utter bullshit, but I mean, come on, we put Captain Kirk up there. It's awesome.
I know. His speech when he came back, I mean, he was legit broken up, you know?
Yep. Yep.
And then you have fucking Bezos trying to blow champagne in the middle of this guy's like heartfelt speech. And I'm just
how fucking annoying was that? Did you not just want to like grab that champagne bottle and bean him with it?
I want to brain him with it and shut like cave his skull in. I was so angry.
Let somebody else have the moment, you egotistical prick.
Exactly. And speaking of egotistical pricks, I got to say George Takei really shat the bed this week too. It's like, come on, dude. His tweets about it were just like, dude, why?
I love Takei.
I do too.
He's done a thing for himself where he's the snarkmeister and the meme central guy on the internet, and good on him for everything. And I get that he and Shatner don't like each other, but this one was a big misstep on his part.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if he would have said congrats, that would have been the bigger man making a bigger move. But no, he had to shit on him. And it's like, dude, you really screwed up on that one. Seriously.
Yeah. Definite big misstep on his part. I'm surprised that because God knows he has a team, because there's no way George Takei is putting out all the stuff that George Takei puts out on the internet. There's a team there, and the team should have been like, hey, not this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he obviously still has the publish button. He is in control of his own tweets at some point. But yeah, it was just like, dude, let somebody have some fucking fun. You know, I think it's all bullshit too, but just his speech and how just everything about him landing and just everything he said and how he felt. I was just like, why would you shit on that? You know,
also, do we need to shit on a 90-year-old man? He's 90. Yeah. Let it go. Let it go. To quote Shatner from Saturday Night Live, grow up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well. A little more follow-up on Uber and Lyft. I saw this op-ed over at the New York Times, and I just loved it. For Uber and Lyft, the rideshare bubble bursts. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it really is pretty much everything that everything that they've promised about ride-sharing has fallen apart. Everything. Yep.
Every single thing. It is not better for the environment. It is not better for the cities. It is not better for the roads. It is not better for the people. It is not better for anyone. It's a horrible, horrible business model that sucks every way down. Every single step of it sucks. Sucks.
Yep. Yeah, and they're basically saying that the environmental thing was the last thing that they were hanging on to, and it's like, well, no, sorry, not on our watch. So, yeah, I mean, if you are even on the fence about Uber and Lyft and ride-sharing platforms in general, yeah, no, it's a failure. It's a failure. Travis Kalanick really screwed the pooch. Sorry. And just the fact that he was a giant douchebag doesn't really help.
And it points to a bigger failure about how businesses are conducted these days, especially if there's even some veneer of tech. And remember, it's just an app. It's just an app. It's a taxi company that has an app. The idea that it's a tech company is ridiculous. So, but this points to the bigger problem, which is if we didn't have all this VC money pumping these things up, these businesses would have failed 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right now, it's a Ponzi scheme. It really is. It's like last man out is the one holding the bag, because everybody who's going to make money on Uber and Lyft has made their money already. Yep. This is just, you know, we're just watching a slow motion train wreck at this point. So, It's just, it's
a self-driving train.
It's a self-driving train wreck. Speaking of self-driving train wrecks, let's talk about Waymo in San Francisco. I love this. Hat tip to Johannes on Twitter for sending me this one for the first. He was the first. I got 400 people that sent it to me. But this is about Waymo cars going down a one-way street in San Francisco and having to turn around and blah, blah, blah. There's another article on Forbes, which I, you know, take that with a grain of salt if you want. It's Forbes, not really the bastion of journalism they once were, but it kind of explains a little bit about how it worked. But we still haven't, I haven't seen anything from Waymo talking about why this happened or how they're fixing it. I was doing my research last night and I haven't seen anything about it, but yeah, these Waymos just keep driving up the street and then the drivers have to do like a really wonky 3-point turn to get the hell out. So is what it is.
Yep. 20 years away,
20 years away perpetually. I threw this one in here just because it's fun. My first website. I talked about it on the show before. I'm trying to buy the domain back from the squatters that have it.
Yeah.
And they won like $6,000 last time. I'm just like, call me when it's a grand. So they wrote me this morning saying, hey, our buyer has just dropped the price. Would you like to buy it? I'm like, call me when it's a grand and nothing yet. And then I'm starting to think, I'm like, you know, it's nostalgia. It's a nostalgia buy for me because it was my first big website. It really got me going and it started a 20-year career. But is it really worth a grand to own that and bring it back? I don't think it is.
No. No, it's not, Jason. No, it's not. Get Spew with a couple more W's on it and put the site back up there. Done. Call it a day.
I have spew.org. I got spew.org. Four letters. So I might as well just throw it back up there. Just as kind of a graveyard site to let it be because there was some good stuff up there.
Hey, I wrote for it. Of course there was.
Yeah, well, that was not our high point. We were at the end. So no accounting for taste on that.
In the news.
So something's actually happening at the FCC now that the people running it aren't running around with oversized coffee mugs and thus not enabling them to do anything like type. Under acting chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel, the Federal Communications Commission is seeking to create a new rule targeting spam text messages. Like another recently proposed rulemaking from the agency, the policy would push wireless carriers and telephone companies to block the spam before it ever gets to your phone, something they can actually do. So, yay, they're doing something at the FCC. Woo!
Woohoo. How's that robocall stuff treating you?
They got to work on that stuff too. And as they are pointing out, in 2020 alone, the FCC received approximately 14,000 complaints about unwanted text messages, representing 146% increase from the year before. And I'm certainly getting a lot of them now. So.
Yeah, 14,000. That's how much I get in a week. What the hell?
Well, you're supposed to complain for each one, I guess.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah. And I was going to put this over in Moron of the Week, but it's like news, I suppose. Jack Dorsey has had another brain fart, and we all have to deal with it and talk about it. Yay. They're considering building... Well, this is with Square. Remember, he runs two companies. Well, he runs Square. And
he runs one company.
Over at Twitter and logs in to promote Square. Jack Dorsey says that Square is considering building its own Bitcoin mining system using custom silicon and open source software. Yay.
Okay. And Jack doesn't have brain farts anymore, Brian. He has beard farts.
Beard farts.
He has beard farts. We're just going to go with beard farts from now on.
So, you know, his whole thing here is it all needs to be more efficient because we're concerned about the environmental impact of Bitcoin. But as with his earlier tweets about plans for a hardware wallet, which he also talked about, he didn't share any details about how this would actually work because he has no fucking idea.
It's going to be in the metaverse. Did you see that? I didn't put it in the show notes, but did you see the headline from The Verge about
they're looking the for 10,000 people that don't hate Facebook to help build the metaverse?
I'm like, give that man a sandwich. That was a great headline.
There's still a few, you know, remote tribes that have never seen technology or other humans. So yeah, I better start there.
I know. I'm just like, fuck it, bravo. You're never getting an interview with Mark at this point, but I love the chutzpah.
Yeah, it was great. Here's another one that could have easily sat Moron of the Week. Tesla is debuting a new car insurance in Texas that will use real-time driving behavior. Yes. So now that they're based there, they're able to do this, I guess. According to Electric, though, the insurance available to Texas, there is already some in California, but that's more like a real insurance. And I'll get to why in just a minute.
All right.
The one in Texas is a bit different. It calculates for customers' insurance premium using their real-time driving behavior. Credit, age, gender, all the sorts of things that insurance providers usually care about don't matter to Tesla. Nope. They won't even look at your claim history or driving records. Instead, they're just going to look at their safety scores, which is a feature it introduced with its full self-driving beta version. Yes. Every forced collision warning and forced autopilot disengagement will affect your score. Following other vehicles from an unsafe distance, braking too hard, and turning corners aggressively using their beta system could also lower your insurance score and raise your premiums. Safety score is still a beta feature at this point, and Tesla said it should improve over time. So why not try out your actual insurance that pays for real-life things like your head being broken using their beta system? Doesn't that sound great?
Oh, God, the future is awesome!
As to why it's different from California's insurance that they offer, that's because California's fucking regulations!
Although you
they're trying to get the regulations to change so they can offer the same thing in California.
Oh, God. You know, I mean, I can call Geico, and they will give me a little dongle that plugs into that port on my car.
Yes, and it becomes part of their algorithm.
Part of it. Exactly. Yes. And it's funny. They sent me a thing the other day in the mail and said, hey, you said that you drive less than 12,000 miles a year. We were just confirming this because it will affect your insurance rate. Can you please take a picture of the odometer and send it to us along with the signed affidavit that says you're driving less than 12,000 miles a year?
And you didn't use Photoshop to doctor this.
Exactly. Which is funny. I've had my car for 3 years now. I have driven, get this, Brian, 4,700 miles in 3 years.
Well, it has been an exceptional 2 years. Nowhere to go.
But even, you know, it's like the only time I would ever drive anywhere anyway was when I would move from California to Chicago and Chicago back to California again. That's all the miles I ever put on my car. But it's just funny that these people think that this stupid fucking beta system is going to... Remember, Brian, when they put in, was it red light cameras, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now they've all had to backpedal because... Yes. They actually cause more accidents than they stop. And honestly, it was never about, you know, stopping traffic accidents.
It was about money.
It was about increasing revenue for the places where the things were installed. But so many lawsuits came out that, oh, yeah, you're actually causing more accidents. So get these fucking things out of here. And I think that they will eventually be a class action lawsuit against Tesla for this one. So your mileage may vary.
Look, also, you're a car company. You make electric cars. Stay in your lane.
Literally.
Literally stay in your lane. I do not want insurance from the same people that sell me the car. Because what are they going to do? Sue themselves if something's faulty with the car? Tesla's insurance company is going to go after Tesla because Tesla built something wrong that hurt me?
Exactly. We still don't even know what the liability is for these self-driving systems. It's like, who is to blame? Is it the driver? Is it the car company? Like, we still haven't even figured this out in court yet. And now they want to be the insurance company that, like, you know, holds the money bags? Fuck you.
Exactly. It's insane.
Yeah. Speaking of insane, Canon is in the middle of a lawsuit right now. Because I don't use Canon printers because I don't like them. I'm an Epson kind of guy or an HP kind of guy. But they're in a big kerfuffle right now because... Apparently, you can't scan anything if there's no ink in your printer, which
makes sense.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, that's how technology
you
works.
Need that ink to do the, huh?
Yep, exactly. So
that is so bullshit. That is so bullshit. Like, okay, you need to go buy our ink. And now we're going to shut down every single feature on this thing that you purchased and own.
No, the ink scam is just one of the most egregious things in the world because it's still cheaper to buy a new printer than it is to buy a new set of ink.
Especially
anymore.
If it comes with a free pack of ink in it, as some of them do.
Yeah.
I'd rather just go get a new printer.
I know.
And then, you know, throw it in the landfill and, oh, wait, I wonder how we got here.
Interesting.
Yeah, Greta Thunberg cries every time you print a receipt on your printer. She's like,
she can only cry if she's full of ink, though.
That's right. Oh my God. Someone needs to replace her tear cartridge. Oh Jesus. Yeah. I honestly, this entire in the news should have just been a moron of the week. Everything we talk about is moron of the week. Speaking of Amazon, they're moron of the week. They are getting busted for copying products and rigging the search results. Of course.
Yeah, like
they
we knew
are.
That they were doing. Yeah.
We knew they were doing it. I mean, was it 5 years ago? At least we talked about the internal brands at Amazon. And, you know, even me, I'm a nicotine fiend. I get little nicotine lozenges, and I was getting the Rite Aid brand. And somewhere along the way, I stopped getting the Rite Aid brand from Amazon because I would get them from them because it was cheaper than going to Rite Aid. Surprise, brick and mortar, blah, blah, blah. And then one day it showed up, and it was the same exact tube, same everything, but there was a little logo on it that said Amazon Basics.
Yep.
I shit you not. They bait and switched me right out of it. They didn't even ask me. They just gave me the Amazon Basics version, which is fine because it is literally the exact same thing. But they're doing this with everything. I've got t-shirts. I've got pants. I've got just about every type of Amazon, Guga and Doodad and Shimadju that they've ripped off from other people.
Every girl's crazy about an Amazon-dressed man.
Exactly. So, yeah, are we surprised about this? No. No, are we surprised they got busted? Yeah, kind
of. A little bit.
Yeah. And I just love this. It's like the document entitled India Private Brands Program states, it is difficult to develop this expertise across products and hence to ensure that we are able to fully match quality with our quote unquote reference product, aka what we're stealing from, we decided to only partner with the manufacturers of our reference product. It termed such manufacturer expertise as tribal knowledge, which means that I go create a product, I have an outsourcer make it for me, Amazon comes in and says, hey, we like that. You're going to make it for us now. Not for that guy. You're going to make it for us now because you have the quote unquote tribal knowledge and we're going to take the inventory and we're going to sell it. You can make a few for that guy. You can make a few for them, but you're going to make the bulk of them for us.
Yes, because here's what we're going to do. As soon as somebody searches for that guy's stuff on Amazon, we're going to return our stuff and it's going to be cheaper in the search results. So they'll just be buying our stuff and not that guy's stuff anymore. So, you know, that's the game.
Exactly. So, yeah. Everybody thinks that Amazon's such a great company, but everybody's full of shit.
This episode is sponsored by Mood. Summer plans can often cause more stress than relaxation with all the planning and extra travel involved. That's why a mellow THC high using Mood's sleepy, chill, or relieved products can help you unwind this summer. Mood offers just the right buzz with their federally legal flower, gummies, vapes, and more, helping you find the perfect high. Mood is offering our listeners a free THCA pre-roll and 20% off your first order. Just head over to hellomood.com and use our exclusive code GOG. Mood's latest introduction, the THCA flower, is a game changer, offering the classic cannabis high with a twist. With 10 high-inducing strains, it's the most potent lineup yet. What's even better is that all Mood products are extracted from hemp, making them federally legal and regularly tested to ensure the highest quality. Sourced from small family farms, you're getting a product that's effective and pesticide-free. I tried several of their products from the uplifting Energized to the Mellow Chill, and I must say, each provided a unique, enjoyable high. My favorite? Definitely the Creative Strain. It sparked an incredible flow of ideas and got me through my daily projects with ease. Whether you're new to THC or a seasoned aficionado, Mood has something for every vibe. Their in-house experts have tailored different strains to match specific moods, offering a range of products to suit any preference. From delectable gummies to classic flower and convenient pre-rolls, there's a multitude of ways to enjoy Mood's offerings. Add more relaxation to your summer plans with Mood. For a limited time only, get 20% off your first order and a free THCA pre-roll. Just go to hellomood.com and use promo code GOG. That's HelloMood.com, code GOG, for 20% off your order and a free THCA pre-roll.
Today's episode is sponsored by Private Internet Access, America's number one virtual private network, also known as a VPN. Even if you use incognito mode, your internet service provider is storing your browsing data and many times even selling it. But Private Internet Access, or PIA, can help. PIA encrypts and reroutes your internet traffic through one of its own servers, hiding your data from your internet service provider or network admin. And with servers in over 75 countries, you can get unrestricted access to geo-block content around the world. PIA comes with an easy-to-use app and browser extensions for all devices, a rock-solid privacy policy, open-source security, advanced customization settings, and it was just ranked the fastest VPN in the world by PCMag. If you sign up with PIA right now, you can take advantage of a special deal only for GOG listeners. By using our link, gog.show/VPN, you can get complete digital privacy for less than $2 a month and 4 extra months for free, which means only $1.98 a month and up to 83% off. That's so much more inexpensive than virtually every other VPN on the market. And if you get it right now, you can take PIA's 30-day risk-free challenge. You can try it out for 30 days and see if you like it. If not, just return it for a full refund. So go to gog.show/VPN and try out the best VPN on the planet completely risk-free. That's gog.show/VPN.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Media Candy.
Brian, let's talk about Dune.
Sure, I finished it last night.
I know you did. You texted me this morning. I'm just like, because I texted you that it was in Sweden, and I didn't hear back from you. And I'm like, oh, okay, he's not going to do it for some moralistic reasons. And then I saw this morning that you watched it. I'm like, gotcha. So I would just like to start my review by saying, fuck space bagpipes. There's no need for space bagpipes.
Okay, fair enough. That was a, come on.
There's space bagpipes. I don't need it's space. Fine. I don't need earth bagpipes. I hate
it's
earth
House
bagpipes.
House Atreides from Kaladin. It made sense. It was fine.
Okay, what'd you think?
I fucking loved it.
Told ya. Isn't it good?
Loved it. The casting was great. Okay, you know, what's his face from Game of Thrones? Jason Momoa. Not my, you know, interior vision. Not my mind's eye, Duncan Idaho.
But he was good.
Did he nail it? Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Everything about it was great. The casting was phenomenal. I love the soundtrack. I'm 99% sure. I'm 99% sure I actually like this movie as much as I do because the soundtrack fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
True to the book, mostly. They broke it into two parts. Thank you, Lord. If they would have tried to do the whole movie, that would or the whole book, that would have been horrible. I can't believe I loved it, but I loved it.
I told you it was fucking good, man.
Yeah,
I actually
it was really
watched,
good.
I stayed up late last night because I was so beat from work that I'm just like, I'm going to put it on and just let it roll in the background. And I ended up staying up till like 2 a.m. and watching the whole thing again.
Yeah, I was up way too late too, because it's a long movie.
It's 2.5 hours and it comes out in a couple days. So, you know, and we actually pay for the service that it's going to play on. So I don't feel bad about stealing it a few days early. And, you know, I did see it a little bit back because I have friends with... access, but still it is a fucking picture perfect movie in my book.
I mean look okay, so we've got two of my favorite sci-fi franchises of all time that came out around the same time. Foundation sucked. Dune, awesome.
Yep. And you know what it reminds me of too? It's like Game of Thrones finale. Fucking terrible. Deadwood finale. Nailed it. So this is kind of the same thing. You know, the Lord giveth, the Lord, you know, whatever, take it away.
Yeah.
But, and by the way, man, I have such a fucking man crush on Paul's mom. Oh, she's, if you ever want to know what my type is, Paul's mom.
Yeah. I'm more of a Chani guy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But ooh, man, that was a good movie. I did watch all of Squid Game.
Okay, so you've one of us.
No, I watched 10 minutes of the first episode and I'm like, I know what this is going to be. I shouldn't do it. By the time I finished episode 9, it reiterated exactly what I knew in the first 10 minutes. Don't watch this.
I'm not going to.
Yeah.
I have no interest.
It's just, yeah, it's not, you don't need this shit in your head. Honestly, after everything we've been through for the past 2 years, you don't need shit like this in your head. You know, it's, I fucking hated it. I really did. I mean, I loved it while I was watching it because I wanted to know what the fuck happened next, but I hated it. I still have nightmares about it. It's not fun. It is not fun.
Succession on the other.
Yeah. Please keep it that way. Don't let your kid ever see it. Succession on the other hand came back on Sunday and, oh God, I love this show so much. I love it so much.
We'll be watching it shortly. So I've heard it's back with a strong start. So that's good.
It is. It is. I really wish I could talk more in detail about it because of the way season 2 ended and all of the theories that we had, which all turned out to not be correct, unfortunately. But I tell you what, strong fucking start, man. Strong start. Cool. I am very happy that it's back.
Awesome. Now that I've got the Apple TV Plus renewed subscription again, I've looked through it a little bit to see if there was anything else to watch. And I did find something for my kid because we had this book. It started as a children's book and they've adapted it into a short special. Here We Are, Notes for Living on Planet Earth. And I have to say it was very well done. If you've got a kid, you know, this is something fun to watch. And it's Meryl Streep is doing one of the voices, Chris O'Dowd. Very, very well done.
No David Attenborough?
No David Attenborough. This is a different thing. So.
Oh, okay. I see Planet Earth and I'm just like, I assume David Attenborough is going to narrate everything that has to do with Planet Earth.
No. And I actually should have brought this up. I should have saved this for Bittner as we went in our nostalgia cast, which you'll all hear shortly. Mel Brooks is coming back with History of the World Part 2. Now, I was at the prime age for History of the World Part 1. I think myself and my friends probably watched it, I'd say conservatively, 7.5 million times. We're getting a season 2, what is this now, 40 years later? Or a part 2 40 years later? So the downside of this is Mel Brooks has not been funny for quite a long time. The plus side is he's got a whole writer's room that's all set up. Nick Kroll, Wanda Sykes, a whole bunch of other people. So we'll see.
Yeah, I he should get his son in there because his son is much funnier than he is in my book.
Yeah, but. And unfortunately it's going to be on Hulu, so I'm going to have to Sweden that one.
Well, I'll shoot you my login because I had to pay for it.
Right.
Oh, wait, no, you've got Disney Plus. You should be fine.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Here I am. So, okay. Well, yeah, whatever. It's going to be a long time before we see this anyway.
I had to actually buy fucking Disney Plus so I could get Hulu so I could watch some terrible TV. Dope Sick actually is not bad, by the way, if you want something to watch on Hulu.
All right.
I was going to say something. The Mel Brooks guy lost it. Damn it. I've got Alzheimer's just like Mel does.
It's all right. I'll come back in another segment.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Speaking of Disney Plus, Disney has announced that they are delaying all of Marvel's 2020 films, and not just Marvel. It also means our Indiana Jones movie is going to be delayed by 11 months.
Yay!
2023 now before Harrison Ford will be 175 years old as the archaeologist in this movie by the time it comes out. They're saying this is all production-related snowball effects that are pushing everything back. And unfortunately, this also means probably that things will be pushed back for that were planned for Disney Plus, at least as far as the Marvel Universe before is concerned, because they're going to hold on to some of the TV shows until the movies come out because they don't want the TV shows to spoil parts of the movies.
Yeah, it's Marvel, though. Who cares? Are we getting Mandalorian? That's all I care about.
Yes, we are. So.
Okay, that's really the only thing I care about that Disney Plus puts out. I could not give any fucks about the Marvel Universe. I thought you were on Team Fuck Marvel, too.
I am, but a lot of our listeners love that shit. So, you know, we're providing a service here, Jason.
We're pandering.
And I'll throw this one in there because it's super interesting. And we've talked much about our love for the Cranberries before on this podcast. And I've talked about my love for Sinead O'Connor and the fact that I worked with her a while back and really enjoyed her and everything. There is a compilation coming out for charity, Salvation, inspired by the Cranberries for the Pieta House, a charity that provides cost-free therapy for individuals suffering from suicidal thoughts. And Sinead O'Connor will be opening that album with a cover from the Cranberries' second album, No Need to Argue, which is by far one of my favorite songs of all time by them. And I can't wait to hear Sinead's version of it. It was supposed to be out already. And I bookmarked the story and it was up on YouTube and I was busy and I did not listen to it. And then it all got pulled down because they pushed the release to the November 5th date. So I have not been able to hear it yet. And I had the chance and now I'm very angry.
No! And I immediately, when I saw this, went to Sweden and it's not there. Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, it's just 2 weeks. We'll be fine. Weeks.
So I'm quite looking forward to hearing this.
Me too. I'm just a big Cranberries mark as you are, so.
Ups and doodads.
So, Brian, you know I love to cook. I'm a cooking man.
Me too.
Yep. About a year ago, I had signed up for the New York Times cooking section, mm-hmm. which is an extra $40 a year to get access to everything. Yep. I used it a total of, wait for it. You know what I'm going to say, Brian. How many times did I use it?
Zero.
Exactamundo. So I got the notice that it was about to renew, and I'm like, oh, hells no. So I got on the horn because the New York Times has not figured out cancel culture yet because you can't cancel in the app. You have to actually talk to somebody. So I talked to Jose on chat and Jose said, hey, man, we've got an all access pass special for you for the next year if you'd like to take advantage of that. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good. And he's like, wait, hold up, bro. It's $1 a week. And I'm like, okay. He's like, you're spending $17 a month right now. So you are going to save a lot of money. And I'm like, and now you get access to everything, you know, wire cutter, cooking, the whole shebang. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll take that. So I actually saved money by canceling my cooking
as per usual
subscription. Yeah. So next year I have to make the call again and say, no, thank you. I'm going to be canceling. I'm just going to move to digital only because, buried in the fine print at the very end of the conversation, it will renew at $25 for every 4 weeks in a year, which is, you know, anybody who's had cable TV knows the shuffle, you know, the calls you got to make. So,
As I've said, since we all have these digital calendars now and we can create multiple calendars, create a cancel calendar and throw that date in there.
Yep. Set that alarm and just boom, you're done. So I saved a bunch of money this year and I still get cooking. How about them apples?
Yep. Which you can also use zero times this year.
Exactly. But now I have it for cheaper. So maybe I'll use it. Nah. I don't like the recipes on the New York Times cooking. There's really nothing there that, you know, tickles my taint, I guess. So I have cleaned my Mac X.
So do I.
It's amazing. It's an amazing program. I have always complained about the fact that I originally bought one seat, then I bought two seats. And then by the time I got to go buy a third seat, it's like, okay, well, why don't I just get one of the 5-seat subscriptions because it's cheaper than buying 2.5 seats, whatever. Did that, overpaid for everything. And I'm just like, I got a notice today that some of this stuff's going because I started using Set App a couple weeks ago. And I covered that on the show. It's fantastic. It comes with Clean My Mac X and Gemini, which is a duplicate finder, which I also had to cancel the subscription for. So the thing about Clean My Mac X, it's created by this company called MacPaw. MacPaw sucks. So you go to the MacPaw website and there is no way for you to log in, period. So I look at the receipt and the notification I got that my thing was renewing. It comes from Paddle, PADDLE.net, I believe. And I write them. I have to go through their Zendesk setup to say, hey, look, I want to cancel this, blah, 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 blah. I've done that before. I actually bitched about it on the show that they screwed up last time and charged me, whatever. So I'm like, I got two seats left. Cancel everything. I'm using I'm using this other thing now with SetApp, so I don't need you guys anymore. Fuck off. Hmm. And I get a link back from them saying, we don't actually handle the subscriptions. MacPaw handles the subscriptions. Here's a handy link for you to log in to go cancel your subscriptions. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Nope. Go to mymacpaw.com, find it, you know, log in and cancel it from there. But Jesus fuck, can these guys make it any harder to cancel? So on This Week in Cancel Culture, NYT failed on ease to cancel, but wins on, you know, saving me some money
retention.
And getting some extra stuff. Yeah. Clean My Mac definitely has lost on every front. So now I pay for SetApp and I get basically everything that I was going to get from them for free because I actually got SetApp for the other apps that I use and not them. So that was just a bonus add-on. So yeah. Apps and doodads, fun.
There you go.
Security? Ha!
Dave Bittner is back. Woohoo! Dave's the host of the Cyberwire podcast, co-host of the social engineering podcast, Hacking Humans with Joe Kerrigan, co-host of Caveat with Ben Yellen, where they discuss law and policy and surveillance and privacy. And finally, he's the co-host of Recorded Future, where he takes you inside the world of cyber threat intelligence. And next up on his new show, Craft Services 2.0, we will be discussing where he's been last week. So what happened, Dave? Where'd you go?
Actually, last week I was co-emceeing, because evidently I'm incapable of doing anything alone. I was co-emceeing the Recorded Future annual conference, which is called Predict. And so I was busy doing that.
Cool. Did you get any of those nice peanut M&Ms?
Not yet, but typically they do send me a lovely gift basket after the fact. So I'll look forward to that.
Fancy.
Doesn't really help you on the day, though, if you need your boost.
No. Fortunately, here at the Data Tribe offices, there is no shortage of alcoholic beverages. So
that's always smart.
Yeah, especially since it's mostly just me these days.
I was going to say, that's Dave's pandemic stash, what we're talking about here.
Yeah, how do you know when you have a problem? When you're day drinking alone at work? That's
I call that Tuesday.
I was going to say, that's pretty much every day for the past 25 years. So there's a reason we work at home.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yeah. How many small business owners are business owners because they simply cannot work with others?
Well, definitely this one right here.
It's a big telling factor. Yes. Hmm.
So listen, we finally our long nightmare is over. We've got new MacBook Pros coming. And Jason, I saw you ordered one.
Did
you
guys? Yes.
Did you guys cover this already in the show? Am I late to the party?
Nope. We're gonna do it right now.
Okay. Yeah, we'll move it here. Ports!
Ports!
My ports! God, ports!
And a notch. But ports!
Well, you know, the notch is, there's no technical reason for it. They just want it to look like your iPhone.
There is a technical reason.
That's my theory.
But here's the thing. If you actually look at the reclaimed real estate that they took from the bezel at the top, it actually is not digging into what is normally screen real estate. So I'm fine with it. At first I was just like, what the but then I thought about it for 2 seconds, which, you know, we generally don't do on this show. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's actually a very smart design decision. This is great.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to put it too, Jason, that they've reclaimed some space. They basically it's not that the notch is pushing down into the screen, it's that they push the screen up on either side of where the camera used to live.
Yeah, the camera's still exactly where it was before. They just gave you a little more real estate. I mean, it's like genius. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it's insanely great.
There you go.
How much coffee did you have today, Jason?
None. I've got a migraine. I don't know if you guys get this in your old age, but I get work hangovers now. I worked like for 12 hours yesterday, which is a long day for me. And I woke up this morning with a migraine. So I'm on basically Advil and iced tea right now, just keeping me alive.
You know, speaking of insanely great, I mean, I think the M1 Mac Mini that I have is insanely great. So I can't wait to see what these new processors do.
I was reloading the store over and over again And when it finally come up, I got a, like a 503 Nginx error. And I'm like, oh, you have to be kidding me. I'm like, can you at least get on AWS when you're doing this?
My favorite part was when they announced the, or they revealed the M1 Pro, and they were going through the specs for the Pro, and it, and they said it maxes out at 32 gigs of RAM. And I went, oh, that's too bad. Some people aren't going to be happy with that. Not expecting that there was going to be an M1 Max that has 64 gigs of RAM. I was like, oh, good misdirection. You got me. You got me, Apple. You got me.
Oh, somebody said, was it you, Dave, that posted the Saturday Night Live sketch?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh, somebody posted on Twitter the Saturday Night Live sketch where, I think it was Fred Armisen was playing Steve Jobs, and he kept talking about the new iPods that were coming out. He's like, here's the Nano, here's the Micro, here's the iPod Invisi. You can't even see it, and it holds 7 million songs. Nope, that's out of date now. Here's the, you know, just kept
right,
going
right,
through
right,
them.
Yeah. Was, I do remember that bit. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Yeah, but I did order the 14. I don't need the super duper ding dong one. So I got the 32 gig of RAM, unified. I'm sorry, not, yep. No, it's not RAM anymore. It's 32 gigabytes of unified memory because we all have to hold hands and sing Kumbaya.
Right.
With a 2 terabyte.
So now we can
drive.
Call it,
Yes, exactly.
I've got 32 RAM, gigs of,
Yeah. And I'm doing fine.
Yeah. And I got the 14 because I've got a 16 now, and I'm like, this thing's too big. And I'm the thought process also was I've already sold the 16, so that's good. That's out the door as soon as the 14 gets here.
Oh, nice.
So I'm thinking maybe if the 14 does the same job as, you know, the 16 and the Air, I can get rid of the Air too. Although the Air is really nice, you know, because it's an M1 as well. And I don't know. We'll see. But it gets here a week from today. I got in early enough where I get it in a week. I'm so excited.
Yeah. I think I'm interested to see how much of a backlog we end up with these things, with the combination of, you know, the supply shortages, but also I suspect there is a tremendous amount of pent up demand for these things.
Oh, yeah.
I know, like I've been hanging on to my old MacBook Pro just waiting, hoping that this was going to happen. And now that it has, I'm going to put in my order.
You better hurry up. That's why I knew this thing. As soon as this thing went up, I'm just like, this is going to be back ordered for months and months. So I'm just like, I've been saving my pennies because I knew it was coming, and just pulled the trigger. I'm like, I got to get it. I got to get it.
Well, I look forward to your review.
Yes, yes. I did. And it's funny, as I was doing that, the FedEx guy showed up with my iPhone 13 Pro.
Oh, nice.
Holy jiminy jeepers, the cameras on this thing are huge.
Oh, is that right?
They're ridiculously huge. But oh my God, they're good. They're really good.
Yeah.
The macro is just insane. And you can set these color profiles now, which is, it's interesting. I got to look and figure out if I can turn them off because it seems a bit, the one that I picked in their little selector, I'm like, oh, I kind of like that look. That's kind of more me, that contrasty look. And then I took a picture of the dog yesterday, and I was just like, oh, my God, can I turn down that contrast, please? So see if you can, if it's non-destructive editing from the point, you know, when you take the photo, if you can undo that, or if it's destructive, turn that crap off right away.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife is expecting to get one delivered any day now. I used to be on a 2-year cycle, like a lot of people, but I'm thinking I may push it back to 3 years, just because they're all so fast. And
I'm 100% on 3-year now, and
I listen
to you guys get all giddy and everything, and I kind of just go, whatever, it'll be fine.
Oh yeah.
my phone works fine. My laptop works fine.
No, I mean, the main reason I did it, I went from the 11 Pro to the 13 Pro because the 12 was an S version, and it kind of sucked. Actually, the S was for suck in that one. And
as I boot up my S,
but the 13, it's like it's literally like a whole re-architecture on the inside. So I figured this one will last me 3 years. But I also went from a 64 gig phone to a 1 terabyte phone. So,
oh wow,
that's a big difference.
So you're just live streaming your life 24/7 now, just because you can.
Just because I can, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. I ported over my old phone, and then I went to, you know, how much storage was used, and you're like, you have 98% available, and I'm like, yes.
Wow.
I am so excited. I can put my entire music library on there 6 times if I want to.
Mm.
So.
What made you decide to go for the large amount of storage?
Because I'm just sick and tired of running out of room. I like photography, so I like to keep a lot of stuff on the phone in full res instead of having to pull stuff down. Like if I'm showing somebody like a slideshow or something, you gotta wait for it, load it from iPhotos and all that crap. I don't like that mental load of having to think about it anymore. I'm like, you know what? I'm not rich, but I'm rich enough to afford a fucking terabyte. So let's get that taken care of now, you know?
Yeah.
I'm 50 years old. Yeah. I shouldn't have to worry about how many gig I have on my phone.
No, I like it. I think it's a perfectly rational reason to do that. So yeah. I support that decision.
If they had a 5 terabyte, I'd have bought that one too. I want to get the max.
Right. The special, instead of the, what is it, the Project Red one, they're going to have Project Jason. It just comes with a ridiculous amount of storage.
Yeah, that's it. And I've got a tether to an external GPU that I carry on my belt clip. Let's just do that. Just get the whole thing out.
Yeah.
Because we don't use it as phones anymore, so what's the point?
No. Like I say, the phone is a completely secondary function to these devices. Yeah. I agree. So I was very pleased. I put a link in the show notes for you all. Something came across my Twitter feed recently, and I thought, aha, at last, a middle ground, a place where skateboarders and rollerbladers can all get together, something we can all agree on the awesomeness of this. We can set aside our skateboards, we can set aside our rollerbladers, and we can all celebrate together as we do foolish acrobatic things. Jason, what have I shared here? What is this?
You have shared some extreme pogo sticking.
It just sounds like a movie we rented back in college, but it's not.
Yeah, Pogo 2, Electric Pogo Loo.
It was right next to Gleaming the Cube at the old Blockbuster. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Who knew that pogo sticking, first
could
of
be
all,
extreme.
I guess, well, I guess shouldn't be surprised that there are people out there who are manufacturing pneumatic pogo sticks that are capable of basically launching you to the moon.
Yes.
And that there are people who would then adopt those devices and take them to extreme levels, casting their own safety aside. And they have the injuries to show for it.
I broke my urethra.
Yeah, yes, that's
exactly what I was going to say. I mean, to me, that would be a deal killer. That
game over,
would be
dude.
Going,
game yeah, over.
That pogo stick would be on eBay within the hour if that had happened to me. There are just...
Let me tell you, as we've entered into this brave new world of machine learning and AI and bots trolling the internet, if I were an insurance company right now, I'd be trolling all these videos, making sure I don't insure any of these people. And if I did, right. You're off my list.
Right. I'm sorry, sir. We will not be covering you.
Yeah. So yes, he has a broken urethra. I have several friends in the skateboarding community, and I didn't realize this was a thing until after I had left. We do handrails quite a bit, and several of my friends have been taken to the hospital for, wait for it, exploded testicles. I see your urethra, and I raise you an exploded testicle.
Oh, mine just sucked up inside of my body just thinking about it. Oh,
it was already cold up here. It feels colder.
That's right. Oh, now, okay, so now we have the extreme pogo stickers. Have you guys seen the guys who do the blades, the bouncy blades? Like, you know, you see them in the Special Olympics with the guy that killed his wife and all that stuff, or girlfriend. But there are guys that you can just get them and buy the bouncy blades. Those guys take the pogo sticking guys out back and say, hold my beer.
There is a legitimate, more pedestrian usage for those. Back when I was still living in Santa Monica, there were workout groups that would go running in those.
Yeah, it's insanely impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
it seems to me like the kind of thing you see on Cirque du Soleil. You know, somebody in some crazy outfit has those and they look like a giraffe or something.
Yep. Yeah,
a sad clown giraffe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sadly, the same people in Santa Monica wear those outfits just to go for their workout.
Yes, that's true.
And then I just put one other link in here because, I don't know, we might not even get around to talking about security today.
Fuck security.
Again, across one of my feeds on YouTube this time was a recording of the 1985 MTV Music Awards, uncensored. Mm-hmm. Now, these awards were hosted by Eddie Murphy at the peak of his powers, right?
And the peak of his sweaters.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I guess he was.
I mean, the Cosby sweater was hot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't pull out one of his leather jumpsuits or his, you know, the from Raw or one of his stand-up specials.
Was Raw out in 85?
Well, remember he had the two different, he had the two stand-up specials where he wore the leather outfits. There was Raw and I can't remember the name of the other one.
Yeah, Raw was 87.
Okay.
So I don't know where the other one was, but Raw was... Raw, that was bad. Try and watch that one lately. It's probably about as bad as this.
Yeah. Well, so I was like, oh, in 1985, MTV, that's the peak of, you know, my teenage years. I'll certainly be nostalgic for that. So I went and watched through it, or shall I say, tried to watch through it. And it wasn't very long before I started skipping around. And boy, this award show just kind of sucked. I mean, Eddie Murphy was fine. He was funny. He was doing his Eddie Murphy stuff at the time. So he was pretty good. But like most of the bands who were there seemed like they were there under duress.
They kind of were back then. They really were. If you wanted to get played, you had to show up at these things.
Yeah. And yeah. Eddie Murphy actually made a joke about that. He said, I'm a movie star. I thought, fuck MTV. But then I realized I have an album coming out soon. So, hey, MTV, great. You know, let me host your awards show.
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw back in. Delirious was the other special and it came out in 83.
Ah, but there you go.
But
okay.
Also, he did wear the red suit in Delirious. Beverly Hills Cop was 1984. So this is probably coming off Beverly Hills Cop.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I thought, oh, here come the Eurythmics. Like, there's a good band. I'd like to see them. And they just come out and they're lip syncing like they're on a Dick Clark show, countdown thing. I mean, the only person who performed live was John Mellencamp. And he might have still been John Cougar at that point. I can't remember. But so anyway, I guess it reinforces that notion that you should really let those memories be memories and don't go back and revisit these things. It's kind of like if you go back and watch the movie Purple Rain, you will regret it. I guarantee you will regret it because it's just not very good.
Or Airplane or Caddyshack.
Caddyshack does not hold up. Yeah.
Airplane really doesn't.
That's a controversial. I still enjoy Airplane. I like Airplane.
Okay. But yeah, Caddyshack. If you isolate the sound bites and you've seen it before, it can trigger some really fun memories, you know, mm-hmm. but the rest
so
of it.
So much of it is pacing. The pacing is just so slow compared to what we've gotten used to now. Like Fletch doesn't hold up at all. And I just remember it just being unbelievably drop dead hilarious back in the day.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I watched Caddyshack with my oldest son. And when we were done, I said, well, what'd you think? He said, well, I'm glad I saw it because now I understand all of those references you and Mom make all the time.
Well, we're waiting.
Right, exactly. You'll get nothing and like it. Like we've said that for him his entire life. But he said, but it really wasn't that funny. And I said, yeah, it really wasn't. Really wasn't.
Slim Pickens back then. I mean, just look at the MTV Video Music Award shows.
Yeah, so we'll have a link to that in the show notes. If you're from that era, watch it at your own risk. But it was interesting to see. It did not at all align with how cool my memory had it being.
Yeah. So just a quick question. I don't know if we will get to security or not here, but we did talk a little bit about VPNs last week, and we wanted to get your thoughts on this because an article came out with many security experts have said that you no longer need a VPN because the internet is so different now and everything is safe and secure. Do you still use a VPN, Dave, when you're out and about?
I do not, no.
Oh, well, look at that. Pants down, Dave.
No, and my thoughts align with what you're referring to in this article. I think it's a combination of things. I think so much of our regular traffic is encrypted now that for that sort of thing, VPNs are largely redundant. Mm-hmm. And I also think that there are just, there's so many sketchy VPNs out there that it's just hard to know who's a good one to go with. Obviously, any of the ones that sponsor this show are all top notch, but
GOG.show/VPN.
But it's difficult.
Yeah, I agree with you there, especially if you're not knowledgeable at all and you're just like, okay, I want to spend the least amount of money possible. Oh, look, here's one that's basically pays me. I wonder how that'll work. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I would absolutely say I would never use a free VPN because you get what you paid for and they're selling, somehow they're monetizing your traffic. So if a VPN is something you think you need, find a good one and pay for it. But do your research because there's so many sketchy VPNs out there. It's a category, actually, we don't take advertising for over on CyberWire just because it's so hard to vet them.
Right. Yeah. And if you took the ad, you'd basically be saying, this is a good one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not for lack of offers. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, we get them all day long. I mean, the reason we stuck with private internet access is because they were hauled into court by the FBI and grilled and said, hey, we need the logs. And they're like, we don't have them. Come check. And the FBI said, yep, they're right. They don't have them. So that's why we stick with the provider that we stick with.
Yeah. Yeah. But I agree. I think it's the use case for encryption is largely gone away.
Yeah. But you still got to go to Sweden, man. You got to go to Sweden.
Well, exactly.
Yes. The thing is, we do sketchy things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. If you want to appear like you're coming from somewhere you're not, then yes.
Dune.
There's a lot of utility.
Just saying.
Still a lot of utility with your VPN. So there you go.
So, Dave, I got a quick question. I was listening to you on Caveat with, you know, get Yellen on the horn, Ben Yellen.
Yes.
And you were talking about the USB-C thing with basically the EU trying to dictate to Apple saying, hey, you guys got to make your cell phone USB-C compliant. And I thought it was a very interesting conversation. Everybody should go check out Caveat. If you're not listening to Caveat, you should anyway. So I assume all of our listeners are also listeners of Caveat. So I just wanted to discuss it for a second because I find it really, really egregious that the EU is trying to do this. I'm not a fan. I am not a fan of them trying to say, hey, we think that you need to get in line with this. And I liked your take on it, saying that, yeah, you know, you're just basically stifling innovation because they might have something better coming down the line. And I disagree with you because you said that they might be going portless altogether. I don't think that's ever going to happen because you do need to be able to plug in diagnostic tools. You know, you do need some kind of physical connection, I believe, but who knows? I mean, that could just be Bluetooth. I don't know, but can you reiterate your stance on what you think the EU is doing with the USB-C for Apple?
Well, basically, the EU wants to standardize all charging on USB-C throughout the European Union. And this is looked at as a pro-consumer kind of thing so that you don't have to have one set of cables for your Apple devices and a separate set of cables for all your other stuff. And I'm simplifying it, but that probably is what it mostly comes down
to. Yeah, that's the...
Because most other devices...
Yeah.
Yeah, most other people use USB-C already, and Apple still uses Lightning. So the argument comes down to, or the discussion Ben and I had about it, is that, yes, it does potentially stifle innovation because it keeps Apple from coming up with whatever, you know, Lightning 2 or whatever their next generation connection is. On the other hand, Apple's already switched to USB-C for some of their devices. Some of the iPads have USB-C on it. And I don't see for the immediate future USB-C losing any sort of data transfer edge to Lightning. USB-C carries plenty of power, carries plenty of data. So I don't see that being a huge loss. So I think what it comes down to is, should Apple be allowed to choose what kind of connector they have on their phones versus the EU saying, we want charging standardized on this connector? I think you could also look at it, you know, nations are allowed to standardize on electrical connectors, right? The plug on the outlet on your wall is standardized, and we're all okay with that. So I think it's a similar kind of thing as what the EU is going for.
Yeah, but it's a consumer product. It's not like, you know, electricity. There are building standards and building codes for homes and things like that. So yeah, I can see them, you know, dictating the standards on that. But it's like, this is a consumer. It's a phone. Why should they have jurisdiction over that?
Well, but everything you plug into your wall in your home is a consumer product. It's the same thing. It's standardizing how power gets to your devices.
There are also a million standardizations in that phone that are set by governments, the frequencies that they can operate on, all of that sort of stuff. So saying it's a phone and they can do whatever they want with it is already strictly not true.
Well, that's it. Okay, whatever.
That's when I know I won the argument.
Brian, you didn't win the argument. This is my, I give up because Brian's going to beat the dead fucking horse argument. Cause I can hear it in your voice when you get that tone. It's like, oh shit, never mind.
Actually,
it's
not even worth literally fighting. That's literally all I had to say. Literally. Uh-huh. That was it.
It's not what you said. It's how you said it.
Okay.
8 years, man. I can tell. I know these things.
You know, with Brian living in Canada now, you guys are kind of like Heat Miser and Snow Miser, and I'm Mother Nature. Oh, boys, you bad, bad boys. Don't make me punish you.
Okay, Discord people, get on that artwork.
Yep.
I don't have particularly strong feelings about this whole thing anyway. I don't really care if my iPhone were to switch to USB-C. It seems to me like a tempest in a teapot. So, you know,
I don't even think it's going to pass. World. So it seemed like you had more conviction on caveat. That's why I approached the topic. You must have fizzled out quite a bit since then. You seem to be a little bit more piss and vinegar, but whatevs. Too much craft services has made you soft.
Yeah, there you go. I was probably more highly caffeinated at the time.
I think it was all the fuzzy sweaters from the MTV Video Awards that he watched. It's just I just need a mochaccino and a nice soft couch.
Yeah. I'm just down from having all my childhood memories crushed.
Well, I mean, come on. You're a Star Wars fan. Lucas did that years ago.
That's true. The weight of the world has crushed my spirit. All right. Well, and on that note.
Okay.
it's barely security, huh?
Closing shout outs.
Over at Patreon, we have a new subscriber, John. Thank you, John.
Thanks, John. Over at PayPal, we have Natalie, Andrew, Shari, Derek, Linda, Edward, Nathaniel, Dag, Ramsey, Tom, Michelle, Michael, and another John.
Well, thank you all very much. Mm-hmm. Over at Stripe, we've got $10 from Darren W. We've got $10 from Andrew M. And he writes, "Hi, guys. I've been listening to you from Dubai and now in the Netherlands where I'm based. I have enjoyed your podcast for the longest time and always meant to drop you a little cash to show appreciation." And he has, so thank you. "I'm always interested in the government spying stories, especially in the Middle East." Well, we haven't had one of those in a while. And this week in Disney Plus. So he sent us the link about basically the ExpressVPN hack that we did cover, I believe, on security when it came out. Mm-hmm. But that's listen to security this week. We talk about VPNs a bit. Unless you're stealing stuff, it doesn't really make sense anymore. But gog.show/VPN if you go to Sweden a lot. And we got a $10 sub from Theodore L and another $10 sub from Sean M. Keep them subs coming. We have a long way to go. People. Like I said, Brian, we were talking a little bit before the show. Since we're going fan supported, we need like 100 more people to do the $10 subs to just even break even for what we lost with advertising. So guys, please, we love you. Step it on up.
Start a podcast, they said. It's a solid business model, they said.
I know. You'll get rich like Rogan. Woo!
Until next time, I'm Brian Schulmeister.
And I'm Jason DeFilippo. Thanks for listening to Grumpy Old Geeks. If you enjoyed the show, visit gog.show/donate, like we just mentioned, to help keep the lights on and actually keep us talking. We'll love you forever. You can also help us out by sharing the show with your friends and enemies. It's easy and absolutely free. Show notes for this episode are at gog.show/527. From there, you can find links to everything we talked about in this episode, as well as links to our swag and Discord channel if you want to buy some stuff or chat with us and other show fans. You can also head over to gog.show/contact and send us your feedback or questions that we can read on the air. And I feel bad. Vincent sent us in one right at the end of the show, and I didn't get it in here this time, about a woman whose t-shirt triggered a traffic camera in England and somebody got a ticket from it. It was very funny. I'll put it in the show notes anyway. And if you're so inclined, please head over to gog.show/review and toss us a snarky review and preferably 5 stars. We haven't had any of those in a long time, so get on it, people. Although we'd rather you go to /donate instead. Stay grumpy.